This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, joined by Ed Blum, head football coach at North Reading High School. Coach, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Bill, thanks for having me this early in August here.
Here we are, yeah, still a little ways away from the start of the season and not that far from the start of practices, so we can sense the summer winding down for those involved with football. But Ed, these interviews are designed for our listeners to hear a little bit more about you and, of course, ourselves to hear more about your football background and so on. So let's get right into it. So tell me about early Ed Blum experiences with football. How far back does that go? I mean, when you kind of came in contact with the pigskin?
I think it goes back to, at least for me, some of the memories and, you know, not necessarily tackle football, but going to games on Friday nights at Weston High School, in elementary school and middle school, and not going necessarily to watch the game, but going to play some pickup football, you know, behind and on the grass fields and everything, and whether, you know, playing running back, receiver, quarterback, playing with your friends. And so that kind of carried into middle school and playing middle school football, getting my start with tackle football in 7th and 8th grade. And then from there, it's kind of been, you know, played through high school, some ups and downs, the coaching change that definitely helped my experience and enjoyed it. But yeah, it goes all the way back to just those Friday nights and playing on those backfields with kids in my grade and kids older than us, younger than us, and you're just playing pickup football.
Yeah, that was under the lights, kind of a fun thing, I guess, for middle school and younger kids to be doing on a night like that, for sure. So are you saying then you played high school football at Weston?
Yes, I played high school football at Weston High School.
All right, so tell us about that. What is a memory or two for you, and where did you play at? What positions were you playing at Weston?
Yeah, for me it was kind of, and as a coach, I'm able to now look back, kind of two very different cultures. So when I got there as a freshman, the program was definitely struggling. Had maybe one win, last 4 years. You know, we didn't win any my freshman year. And so then a new coaching staff came in my sophomore year. And it was just really cool to be a player at that point, helping to try to turn a program around. And so from like a leadership and what you got from football, learning from a really good coaching staff, Coach DeSaunier is my head coach sophomore through senior year, but really trying to like change the tide of football at Weston, which was a lot of fun. Sophomore year, started in the secondary at cornerback on varsity. Didn't really play offense at all. I was that guy that I'm on scout defense, I'm on starting defense, not really seeing much time playing any sort of offensive position. And then going into my junior year, they moved me to quarterback. There's a nice little quarterback competition with a few of my teammates, and kind of won that job. And so for junior and senior year, played quarterback for the team, which was really cool. I mean, I think one of the things that I love about football is kind of that best match piece of it, and that was kind of my real first exposure playing quarterback in terms of like, oh, the mental part of football and the strategic of it and the strategy and understanding a defense and offensively how we're trying to attack it and all that sort of stuff. So just some really cool experiences playing that position.
You know, I'm going to digress from this progression, if you will, of your playing career, but just now as a head coach, but you see other head coaches not necessarily coming from the ranks as a quarterback. So give me some feedback on your thoughts as a player, as a coach, on the differences between being a head coach as a former quarterback opposed to, some other position.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I think number one, and I think a lot of the guys I meet who are, whether they were linemen before and now are head coaches, is just kind of across the board, we all kind of fell in love with hopefully the mental part of the game and the strategy piece of it. Obviously, I think, linemen bring a certain level of physicality and understanding. I mean, I even tell, my linemen at North Reading here that, I don't understand the day-to-day battle of it for sure, because I myself didn't have that experience. But I think as a quarterback and in this position, like, you understand the importance of a line. You understand the importance of rubbing those guys up, because, you know, it is a lot easier in my mind in practice to, as a quarterback, to throw the ball on routes and different things like that. And then you look over at the linemen, what they've got to do during practice, and it's like, it's just easy to understand that, hey, like, we have a knife. We've got to kind of pick them up every day and bring the energy. So I think for me, in terms of, you know, head coach and being a quarterback, you know, it taught me right away that you kind of had to see and appreciate, you know, everyone. You know, the success of a quarterback doesn't happen without, you know, the linemen and the hard work they put in. It doesn't happen without your receivers being on the same page with you and your running back knowing the pass protection and run the ball hard. And so, like, it really, at least for me, made me understand the game from all positions, even if I never really fully experienced it. You know, at the same time, you know, I'm coaching some of the quarterbacks, and I give them the heads up and the warning. I certainly hold them the most accountable. You know, if a receiver, if a ball isn't caught, it's not the receiver's fault. It's on the quarterback. It's an adjustment they have to make. If the line messes up, it's on the quarterback. So I do coach the quarterbacks really hard, because that was kind of my take on the position of you're kind of responsible for everything that goes on in the field and kind of all your teammates as well. So it kind of gave me a good, you know, start on being a head coach and kind of investing in your teammates and investing in the guys around you.
I'm thinking now, as a head coach, you and as a former quarterback, you always appreciated linemen, but you're probably understanding it a lot more now as you progress as tack on year after year as a coach. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my! I mean, absolutely, and I think, you know, you kind of see a lot of the teams that you know, make deep runs in the playoffs, and obviously we've been very fortunate. Part of it is the strength of those teams' line. You know, those skill guys and quarterbacks might get the headlines, but in the nitty gritty of it all, you look at, you know, can they really control the line of scrimmage? You know, can they control the run game? Can they do different things, whether it's the offense or defensive line? And I think that kind of still controls and dominates high school football, particularly trying to make a deep run in playoffs, is whose line can kind of control the line of scrimmage the best. And the appreciation that I have for those kids in terms of the practices, you know, the games, just everything that they do, it's a whole different level. And again, there's a mental toughness to it. There's another level of things that, again, I always want our skill guys understanding and appreciating, because, you know, it's not the most glorified position. And in an era where kids need instant gratification and appreciation, all that sort of stuff, like, you're not getting the headlines at that position. And so it, as best as we can in the locker room, give those guys the headlines and the appreciation, because, yeah, at the end of the day, they are so important to the success on Friday nights and late into November.
All right, I need to retreat back to your junior and senior year in high school, Ed, quickly, and give me a note or two, a game note or a highlight or something that you can recall from that junior or senior year in playing at Weston.
Oh, man. It's tough. I think, you know, the learning curve early on is one that will always stick with me. You know, those first actual game at quarterback my junior year, and just kind of they weren't the best game. You know, I have no problem, you know, saying that. You know, I certainly kind of let the team down, and I think they knew it, and they, you know, knew it at halftime, and so that right away kind of humbled me and really got me to understand the, you know, challenges from that position. And then beyond that, I you know, I think in my senior year we rejoined the dual county league. You know, Weston had been independent for a while. And so we rejoined the dual county league. And, you know, we played Boston Latin, which was our first DCL game back. And, you know, we won the game and we kind of blew them out. And the rest of the schedule was tough after that. But, you know, as a captain, you know, and as that quarterback that senior year, we were a young team, and it was awesome to just, the second halves, we always played better than the first halves once we joined the DCL. And it was kind of getting the younger kids to believe that, hey, like, we can compete and we do belong in this. You know, and I think for me as a player, one of the most proudest moments for me was the fact that the team 2 years later, you know, then goes 10-1 and comes in second in the BCL, only losing to Concord Carlisle and just missing out on going to playoffs. And so for me, it's kind of that lasting legacy of instilling this confidence and belief that, you know, Western football could hang around with other dual county league teams. And that was for me a moment that I'm very proud of.
You do bring up a good point in football is that there are very few 1 year turnaround stories in football. That's for sure, right? I mean, it's a process, and case in point, Weston during those years when you were a player and beyond. Let me ask you about your coaching influences. Who's influenced you as a coach? Maybe as a player, but as a coach for sure. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a football coach, or there could be other coaches as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've been fortunate. I think, you know, one coach for sure is John Beverly, who was my high school baseball coach. And he got, you know, the Weston coach there for about 8 to 10 years. And just really in terms of practice schedules, how to run a program, you know, and we still stay in touch then. He's been a great mentor for me. And then I've got to go to, you know, Coach Manti, who was my offense coordinator at high school. He gave me an opportunity when I was 20 to join his staff when he first went to Westwood High School. And the staff that he assembled, I learned so much from. You know, I mean, I'm a 20-year-old kid going into coach high school football, and Coach Manti obviously knowing me, but then the other assistants he had on the staff were, you know, treating me as an equal. They helped mentor me. They helped guide me. And there's little pieces of the way that they all coached that I tried to emulate and kind of take away, whether it's trying to motivate kids, hold them accountable, how to teach the game, how to engage with practice, you know, how to watch film. You know, I don't think I'm at where I'm at without that initial staff at Westwood High School. And just being able to learn from all of them and them allowing me to grow as a coach, you know, for those 4 or 5 years when I was down there. So just the collection of those guys and as I said, you know, Coach Beverly, I've been very fortunate to have some great guys that I can call on and learn from and get advice from that have really helped me over these last, you know, 10, 12 years.
Well, you know, those are your coaching influences, but it's still Ed Blum. You know, you're gonna be Ed Blum, and you're gonna take from all of these guys and others, and but yet at the end of the day, you're gonna not be the same as them, I'm sure. So, how would you describe yourself or your coaching style, strengths, and so on? You know, as you have to do it in 2023, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I think number one, it's just the ability to learn every year. You know, I'll certainly own that. I think my first year or two of being a head coach, I certainly made mistakes, and how I handled some things and how I tried to do some things, you know, and I've kind of told the kids as we try to get them to buy into, again, this process and always learning, that, you know, this is such a different program if I just stayed who I was that year one. And so I think kind of any coach and any young coach, as you kind of get into things, it's being reflective in your own practice. But for me, the biggest piece and kind of what I try to do from day one, we've tried to continuously do here is I really, more than probably other coaches and at times I'm sure it annoys the kids, really focus on the culture piece. I'm a huge chemistry guy. I truly believe that we need to create an environment where, you know, if kids are going to maximize their ability as a player or as a person, they need to be comfortable. And not necessarily, again, that doesn't mean conform to a certain way, but we've got to allow people to feel comfortable being who they are. You know, you're a sophomore, you have to feel just as comfortable as that senior does in the locker room if we want to get the most out of you. And so just a huge piece for me was coming in and shifting the culture a little bit, shifting the culture in the locker room, how kids from grade to grade interacted with each other, treated each other, how we acted in the school. That was a big part. And a part of it at North Reading, I was, you know, lucky is you know, they, prior to me becoming head coach, they had started to win more games. And so the winning was there. It just, for me, the culture wasn't quite matching the product on the field. And so every year it really is trying to figure out that chemistry piece. What lessons do these kids need to learn? That over the course of a long season, they need to rely on, you know. I mean, I think it is, you know, you get into October, you get into November, you better be able to trust one another. You better be able to have each other's backs. You better be able to have those tough conversations and hold each other accountable, but know that, hey, we're doing it in the best interest of everyone here. Hey, you need me? I have you, and I can help pick you up and all that sort of stuff. So to really last through an entire football season, the best we can, we try to build that team, that family, that brotherhood. And more than a lot of coaches, I certainly harp on it. You know, language, celebration, things like that. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I think more and more are happening, and sometimes coaches aren't holding kids accountable to, and we try to hold them accountable to making sure we're doing things the right way in every aspect.
No, I totally agree. I think that program culture, school culture, and climate are so critical. I want to ask you about this, too, because now you guys are coming off the Super Bowl championship last season. But the year before that, you were in the Super Bowl. And I'm thinking, or competing, right? And right to the end. And I'm thinking one of the challenging coaching jobs to have is a team that, you know, did well one year, but then has to step it up even further the following year. I mean, to me, that must have challenged you as a coach and as a coaching staff to get this team to ready to take the next step, the big step for the championship.
Yeah, and I give, you know, credit to a lot of the you know, leadership last year and upperclassmen last year. I mean, they kind of owned it. You know, after the loss, they kind of owned it, and it was a really great offseason of work that they put in preparing. But, you know, that preseason last August certainly had its ups and downs. I mean, I think the pressure was kind of getting to people. The expectation of, oh, we'll just get back there was getting to people, including coaches. I think, it, you know, the outside noise was definitely there because we were returning a lot of people. And, you know, at the end of preseason, after our scrimmage against Wakefield, you know, the coaches, the seniors, and the juniors met for about 2 hours at the school, and we kind of just talked about preseason. We talked about, you know, what went well, what didn't go well, kind of what was the hardest thing. And, at, you know, one point I think it came out from either a player or one of the assistant coaches, and we just owned the fact that, yeah, you know, the expectation, that high pressure was kind of getting to us, that we were allowing these outside influence to say, oh, you guys will just get back to Gillette, and kind of getting away from the certain way that we need to practice and the certain way that we need to play and prepare each week. And all of that will hopefully, in the end, get us to where we want to be. And again, it was a special group because, you know, not only did they challenge themselves, but as a coach, you can't always have some of these as open conversations as you want. And this was a group that was very receptive to it. You know, they were open to sharing their thoughts, sharing their ideas, listening to things. And so the fact that we were able to kind of have a very open conversation at the end of preseason was just, it was awesome in terms of culture and just the maturity of the kids. And it wasn't easy, you know, preseason-wise, but I think kind of once we got into the season, and after we had kind of this conversation, there was a groove that this team kind of found. And obviously, you know, the last 2 years we've had that challenge with Amesbury. But again, it was one of those things that you never like to lose, but sometimes that loss just comes right at the right time. And I think for kind of the second year in a row, again, we had a nice group of leadership that, you know, we didn't let that deter us from what our goals would be. And so it was definitely challenging early on to deal with those expectations. But as the season kind of got going, things were easier day to day.
Yeah, you mentioned that scrimmage against Wakefield. There's a team that that won a Super Bowl themselves last year as well. So interesting, yeah. Hey, I'm down to two questions here, Ed. And so here's one of them. Looking back as a fan of football, I guess it doesn't have to be a football game, but is there a game that stands out to you? Now, it could be something you watched on TV, a college, a pro game. It could be a game that you were at. It could be a game you were scouting. But is there a definitive game that kind of is somewhat vivid, is impactful, if you will, for to you?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. I mean, it's a tough one. I think, you know, from as a fan growing up in New England, I think, you know, the Patriots kind of give you a lot of those games. You know, I think the way they play to the end, you know, the number of times that we've brought up, you know, that Patriots-Falcons Super Bowl, you know, as how could you not? I mean, the way Tom Brady and just that collective team throughout the dynasty kind of carried themselves, I think, and coaches, has influenced me as a coach. But I think more recently, I think for us, I think last year that Bishop Fenwick game, you know, I think that semifinal game against Bishop Fenwick, just the scoring going back and forth, you know, we lose arguably one of our best players, if not our best player, in Craig Rubino in the second quarter, you know, go up two scores to only see Bishop Fenwick come back and get the lead, and then late in the fourth quarter, get the lead again, but then they tie us. And with 30 seconds left, you know, kind of kick a field goal. And the reason for me that one stands out is the mental toughness and just everything that you have to deal with in terms of how to respond to adversity and coming up and making the next play. And, like, the game's not over till the end. You know, this was the first time that I think we had a team that was capable of doing that. And it showed, you know, just that they didn't get down on each other. They didn't blame each other. They just, like, they wanted that next play to show that, hey, let's continue to step up and make the plays that we have to. And, like, yep, we're facing adversity, and yep, it's a back and forth game, just like we knew it would be. But we've got to step up and continue to make plays and continue to do our job and fill roles that we may not be, you know, have prepared ourselves for. But we've got to play hard. And I think for me as a coach, that game just kind of epitomized everything we're trying to get these kids to understand, that so much stuff off the field, whether, you know, parents or players really understand it, like, the way you respond to adversity in life and in the classroom and different things, it will show up on Friday nights. And I think in that Bishop Fenwick game, our senior class and some of our juniors, like, their mental toughness, their response to adversity, the way they cared about their academics and cared about, you know, lifting in the weight room and, you know, cared about doing all the extra stuff. Like, it finally played, you know, paid off, and perhaps one of, like, the biggest games, you know, North Reading seen in quite some time, particularly in football. So for me, that's a recent game that just continuously will stick in my mind.
And absolutely, great example for sure. And obviously we can see why. Well, Ed, here's the last question. You know, as a football coach, and you coach other sports over there as well at North Reading, but as a football coach, I mean, I'm thinking every day you're thinking football in some way. Maybe a day goes by you're not so much at some point, but I'm thinking maybe it's during a 2-foot snowstorm in February, but that might be the day. But you're always thinking about football. So right now as we speak, what is it that you're thinking about that you need to do or concerns you about North Reading football, I suppose, stepping off into the 2023 season here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think first thing is, you know, the players kind of finishing up strong going into the preseason, you know, so finishing up their workout strong, you know, ideally finishing up doing some team bonding and some team chemistry stuff so that they come in day one at a good place of already kind of having relationships. So it's kind of just making sure that for the players, the next 2 weeks go really well leading into the season. And then from a coaching perspective, it's more just making sure all the little things are kind of taken care of so that preseason can go smoothly, you know. So setting up the locker room, getting the equipment ready to hand out to kids, coaches' meetings so that we're on the same page. So this is kind of the... These last 2 weeks here are kind of big, you know, in my mind, for really setting up preseason to be as impactful as it can be, and all the little details that go into it, whether, you know, some different team bonding experiences throughout preseason, you know, meals together, things like that. Just, you know, we like to make preseason a little more than just the practices on the field. And so just making sure all those little plans and everything are wrapped up so that when the first day is here, we can really focus on learning football, being together as a team, and then getting on the field and fully building you know, what the 2023 team will be.
Well, all those little things, as you say, probably add up to everything, I think, for football. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Ed, thank you so much for your time and insights. Hang on the line with us. But, Ed, thanks again, and best of luck, and we'll be back in touch soon to talk more about your players for this year's team and the matchups ahead.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Ed Blum, head football coach at North Reading High School. Bill Newell here on MSO Newsports.com.